Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about some controversial things today. One of them is these events that we see around the world where armed gunmen break into schools and start killing small children that sometimes they don't even know. Now, sometimes we hear that it's a former student that wants to wreak revenge upon the teachers and the classmates, but often it's total strangers to the school who don't even know these small children. I mean, in one of the recent events, we see, very young students who haven't had any interaction with the murderer being shot brutally down, just tore to shreds. In many cases, before they come, they kill their mothers. I talked about an incident in England where they have gun control, where somebody owned guns and he killed his mother and he went out and started killing just random people that would come down the street. Was able to do it for hours and hours and hours and kill these people because nobody could stop him because nobody had guns. Even the local constable didn't have guns. It was a small village. So they had to get somebody to come from a nearby village or nearby town with a gun to stop this guy because nobody could get near him without him shooting them. And so what do you do? You cannot make guns go completely out of existence. They're around. They're here to stay. They're not going to go away because of the fact that you don't like guns. And so if you unarm everybody, they become defenseless. You are putting people in a dangerous position by taking away their guns. We live 75 miles from the nearest police station. There was actually a burglary out here it was committed by the son of a former reserve deputy for the police. And he'd been casing and got in, mixing up with other young people and not so young people in a distant town and said, oh, we can go out there to where I used to live and I know where everybody lives and I know who's out of town and we can just rob people. And that's what they do. They'd rob people who were not at home and they would break in and steal as much stuff as they could and just destroy stuff unnecessarily just because they could do it because there was nobody home and they didn't worry when there was nobody home. But the fact is, the phrase, there's nobody home is often, like his elevator doesn't go all the way up. There's nobody home upstairs. The person's not thinking. And, of course, that's what's happening in America, that they are emboldened by the fact that we can go into this house or that house and they don't have guns. Except for, in most cases, burglars don't know who has the guns. They don't know who can defend themselves. They may not know who's even home. And so they might knock on your door and pretend to be a salesman, and then if you don't come to the door, then they bust in. But if you're home, they are not coming in because you might have a gun. You might be able to shoot them, cause pain. But in these gun-free zones, which schools have become gun-free zones, some of the malls have become gun-free zones, some of the places where they have stores, they call them gun-free zones. No guns are allowed. The owners of the stores can't have guns. The teachers can't have guns. The faculties can't have guns. They can't bring them on. Even if they've had police training, even if they've had military training on how to use a weapon, they can't bring them on because zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. If your children are going to a public school with zero tolerance, that they don't allow the teachers to arm, you should get together with as many parents as you possibly can and formally protest by saying, "We're removing our children until you have adequate protection for the safety and well-being of our children. Because we see your policy of zero tolerance as a danger, a neglect of the safety of our children. You need to change your policy." It would be great if you did that. It would even be better if you just took your kids out of school altogether, because there's other dangers lurking in those public schools, and maybe we can get around to that. But this zero tolerance, you need to speak out against it. You know, as when they hijacked the planes, was supposedly with box cutters, you know, or what have you, you could have prevented that. When everybody got on the plane, you gave everybody a box cutter. Everybody on the plane gets a box cutter. And, you know, maybe a couple of Band-Aids, because somebody's not going to know how to handle a box cutter and they're going to cut themselves. But if everybody had a box cutter, those guys couldn't have got away with that. And if you had the mindset that somebody is holding a woman and holding, you know, a razor to her throat, threatening to kill her, he's already forfeited his life. You should stand up, walk towards him, and disarm him, and beat the tar out of him if you have to. Now, people didn't do it because just cooperate. Cooperate? Why? Why are you negotiating with terrorists? You're saying it's okay to be a terrorist as long as I'm safe in my seat and we get down on the ground, but that wasn't supposedly their intent, if that's really what took place. But the point is, the scenario is ludicrous. I've flown on some of those planes. That was a peculiar thing, is that it wasn't full, but still there's hundreds of people normally on those planes. And they couldn't have stopped these few guys with box cutters? Well, they didn't try. They didn't think, you know, they thought we would be safer. That woman up there, she's not going to be safer. But we would be safer. And why were they able to do this? Because you disarmed the pilots. Zero tolerance. Pilots cannot arm themselves. It was suggested right away, allow the pilots to arm themselves. Most of the pilots have military experience. They're Air Force people prior to becoming a pilot. They can take extra training. I mean, they already know how to fly a jet. They ought to be able to handle a gun. You could load the guns with rubber bullets if you wanted. Or, you know, non-penetrating bullets that aren't going to go through the fuselage. And you could do all kinds of things. You can put birdshot in them. But whatever you do, don't tell the world, except for the fact that you have allowed your pilots to be armed. So they know that it isn't just getting the cockpit door open. We have to get into the cockpit. We have to get into the cockpit and maintain control without getting shot ourselves. Suddenly, you have a huge deterrent. But once you take the guns away from the pilots and say, oh no, you can't have guns. I mean, if they wanted to commit suicide and kill all the people, they just nose the plane down. They don't need a gun. So why not let them have a gun? They're not a threat or a danger. They're already exercising tremendous responsibility in handling the plane to begin with. If they're not mentally stable to handle the plane, you know, or handle a gun, why are you giving them the plane? It's insane. Arm the pilots. Simple as that. But they can't see it. Because there's a cognitive dissonance. There's something else going on here, folks, that they cannot see that's insane. They're taking the guns away from teachers who would be perfectly competent in handling that gun and could have kept those children safe. They could have kept those children safe. It might not have even happened. on Straight Talk, which we have before this show, I was explaining, you know, the fact is that you have advertised to the world under some sort of delusionary concept that we have gun-free zones in our schools to make our children safer. When you advertise to the world that there are no guns at our school, there are no guns allowed on our campus, a crazed killer is going to go where? Did you hear about the crazed killer shooting at the local rifle range? No, you didn't hear about that, huh? That's because it didn't happen. They didn't go there. Did you hear about the crazed killer that went to the gun show and tried to shoot it out with everybody at the gun show? Oh, you didn't hear about that? That's because it didn't happen. They didn't go there. They didn't go down to the police shooting range. They didn't go there either. Where'd they go? Gun-free zones. Gun-free zones. Because those people are stupid enough to say, we have disarmed ourselves and we have no means to protect ourselves or the children here, so you can come in and kill as many innocent people as you want. That is what they have announced to the world. And that is what you are saying with your gun-free zones. You can say, oh no, that isn't our intent. Well, that's what you're doing. That is what you're doing. You're announcing to every maniac in the world, every Satan-possessed murderer who wants to kill as many people as he can before he dies, that you can come to our school and kill our children, and we won't do anything but let you kill us. That's what you're saying. And every parent, every single parent that sends their child to a school that is a gun-free zone, if your children are killed, you are to blame. You are to blame. Their blood is on your head. It's called criminal negligence. You knew you had a dangerous situation and you put your children in it with no means of self-defense, no means of protection. How could you do that? Cognitive dissonance. Somehow or other, common sense can't get into your brain because you have to believe that you're doing the right thing. And so therefore, when the evidence arrives that you are doing a bad thing, you say, oh, I can't accept the fact that I did a bad and stupid thing, so it must be those banana clips that are in those assault rifles. It must be their fault. It must be these NRA guys. Why aren't they just content with duck hunting and deer hunting? Why do they have to have... You don't need these guns for duck hunting. You don't need these guns to hunt deer. Nobody needs that gun. That's what you hear them say. Anybody who says that, you have just heard from the mouth of somebody suffering from cognitive dissonance. They cannot see the truth. They will not see the truth, because if they were to see the truth, they would see what cowards, lazy cowards they are. I mean, the fact that you're sending your kids to public school at all is an indictment, because they don't get a good education there. No, they don't get a good education there. They don't get a good education there. It's the best education your tax dollars can buy, and the tax dollars of your neighbors can buy, but it's not a good education. Read our books on schools to fool, or schools as tools. It goes under both names. It's all over the place. And we've had shows on that. Maybe we'll talk about that later. But the fact is that there's a serious problem where you are unarming your teachers. You're unarming the faculty, many of them who are extremely competent in the handling of firearms. And could bring those firearms. I mean, I heard people say, oh, we don't arm the teachers, we'll get a security guard. You know, most of your security guards are barely making minimum wage. they make a little bit more. I remember when I was a security guard, I was working, and all of a sudden I was going to become an armed security guard. I got a nickel an hour raise because I was going to carry a gun. You know how much training I got in the gun? Here's the gun. That's what they did. They handed me the gun. 38, no training whatsoever. That's what happens. We have to be more stringent. We have to make more rules. Somebody who has a college degree, supposedly intelligent enough to teach your children, your high school students, your college students. These are intelligent, supposedly the smartest and brightest teachers that you could find anywhere for the salaries that they make. Far more than the security guard's going to get. But they can't handle a gun. They can't handle a tool like that. They can't put it in their pocket. And we have somebody who comes to church every Sunday. I know he's got a gun in his pocket. He's got a nice little small revolver he carries in his pocket. And there's somebody in the church that is armed. I mean, I've seen rifles in the local church. They're actually trading guns after church. It was a 1864 trap lock, trap door gun, but it was still a gun. It was a rifle. They had it there. And but in that community, there's probably several other people in this community who have guns in their pockets, or at least out in their car. So there isn't guns far, far away anywhere in this community. And it's a safe community. I was pointing out earlier on Straight Talk that they're in the nearest town, because the town that we live in isn't really a town, and we don't really live in town anyway. I mean, there's been more people living at my house than in town at times. But anyway, the nearest town, about 40 miles away, where they have a school, they haven't had a shooting, armed robbery kind of event there since 1957. And the two guys who were committing the robbery at gunpoint, one of them shot a local guy in the back as he was walking down the street and then fled. And that guy ended up dying there on the street. But they didn't make it to the next town, which was our direction. By the time they got near our town, there was a string of cars and guns across the highway waiting for them. And they turned around and went the other way, and the men pursued. And the first time they shot back at the men, somebody dropped them. The other one fled into the woods and was eventually found by a deer hunter and marched to the police, where he was arrested and tried and executed. And he didn't kill anybody else after that. But in your schools, you can't do that. You can't stop a guy, because you're not allowed to have a gun. You're incompetent. You're not the government. They are. You're not the home of the brave and the land of the free. You're the home of the cowards and the lazy and the not free. And you live by the sword. You don't have one, but you live by one. You simply ask the men who call themselves benefactors to take away from your neighbor at the point of the gun, even rob widows and orphans with inheritance tax, so that you can have all the benefits that you want from government. That is actually the antithesis of what Christ taught and what the early church was doing. That's the exact opposite. That is actually making the word of God to none avail. Yet some of you think you're Christians. The pagans weren't even that bad. As bad as you've gotten. You are ripe for the worst kind of tyranny and dictatorship you could possibly imagine. The same thing that you saw in Germany, in the Soviet Union, in Pol Pot, today, in all these countries where there were mass murders right after they confiscated the guns from the people. And like I said, I can send you pictures all over the net of armed soldiers in uniforms given to them by the government with guns given to them by the government, including assault rifles, shooting women and children in the back of the head, unarmed women and children and innocent men in the back of the head, and dumping their bodies in mass graves. That's the photographs we have of those events. Those are actual photographs of those events. Some in full color. We have those for you to see. Because they actually photographed it with impunity. Because the people didn't have guns. They couldn't defend themselves. America, the people could defend themselves. I am only shocked in America at the fact that less than half the people have guns. Less than half the households have guns. That's insane. You are cowards. Even Christ said, if you don't have a sword, sell your coat and go get one. Why? Because he wasn't a man of peace? He was a man of peace. He would even die rather than ask for the help of Rome to protect him from those murderers who had taken over the Sanhedrin. And that's where you are at today. Is you have a nation that would disarm you and don't love you. Love the power that they have. I don't care if you're in England or in the United States or in Canada or Australia. I'm talking to all of you. You're cowards. You put your children in harm's way. You unarm your teachers and tell the world that they can go to your schools and kill whoever they want. Because we're not going to offer any resistance. We're not going to allow our teachers to even protect our own children. This is where you don't need the news media to tell you this. Even though I'm going to tell you it. If your children, if your nieces, if your nephews are going to schools with zero tolerance policies where they will not arm the teachers, you should get your children out of those schools. And you should bug your brothers and sisters that send them to those schools and say, how can you be so heartless? How can you be so negligent? How can you be so uncaring for the safety of your children that you would put them in a gun-free zone with nobody to protect them and then advertise to the world that crazies can't get around all the schools? They can't get to them all. There are so many of them. But they will. Because the crazies are getting more and more power all the time. We're living in an insane world. How many children died last year as a result, or the year before that, or the year before that, or for the last decade? How many children have died because of bullets? Because of bombs in the hands of men who don't care about them? Well, many. Thousands. Tens of thousands. Hundreds of thousands. And many of those bombs and bullets were fired out of American guns and planes. And drones. And it still goes on today. And we'll talk more about this and the dangers that you are facing in a world unarmed and dangerous.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about this unarmed and dangerous Christ was very, you know, I've had people try to explain away the fact that Jesus says if you don't have a sword, go and sell your coat and get one. And they have tried everything they can to say that Jesus was not telling his men, his apostles, to be armed. They tried to say, well, that was an eating implement. You know, it's not a butter knife. Shortly after that, Peter cuts a guy's ear off with it. They try to say that, oh, it was only for that particular moment so that they would be counted as some sort of militant group. Well, they didn't run out that night and go get a sword. He's telling them that they need to be armed to protect themselves and the innocent from unnecessary maliciousness. Now, he wasn't a man of violence. He was a man of peace. But if you will not arm yourself, like I've said this many times, and if you will not arm yourself, if you will not take the time to learn how to be armed and protect yourself and protect your neighbor, don't you dare call 911 when somebody's attacking or robbing you. Don't you dare. You are a shameful, cowardly individual. The right to bear arms is the responsibility to bear arms. And this is why I left police work. I was in police work and I saw that I was protecting people who did not come and back you up. You weren't adding an extra level of protection to people who needed protecting. You were allowing cowards and lazy people to feel safe and secure. Cowards and lazy people should not feel safe and secure. And you should not make them feel safe and secure. You should make them feel like the cowards they are. You should make them feel like the slothful they are. If you love them, rebuke them. Say that I'm not coming to your aid if you need help because you are making no precautions or preparations to come to my aid or the aid of my children. And these people who put their children in these schools where the teachers are not prepared to protect them are sinning against God and their children. They are sinning against them. They are exposing them unnecessarily to danger. And I'm not even going to get into the area of what they're allowing those teachers to teach their children or the terrible education that those children are receiving. I'm just talking about simple, basic protection. If your teacher were to, in the state of Oregon, were to take a child out in a rowboat on the lake without a life preserver on that child, it would be considered negligence. He would be fined. Because even though the boat's not sinking, even though the child is a good swimmer, it's against the law because it is considered negligence. Yet you would take your child and put them in a gun-free zone with all the teachers unarmed, all the faculty unarmed, no way of protecting the child against a crazed, mad killer, and you would say that that's okay, or even that that's good. That is not good. And there's no way that you're going to make it illegal to buy banana clips or assault rifles and make that danger go away. It's just not going to happen. You say, well, we need to collect all the guns. You can't do it. It won't happen. You're going to need guns to collect the guns. And if somebody has the guns, somebody can steal the guns. And besides, there are so many guns, you can't even find them all. And until you find them all, arm the teachers. Allow the teachers to become armed. I hear people say, well, I don't know if I would think that these teachers are competent enough to hold and handle a gun. Well, if they can't handle a gun, why do you think they are competent enough to handle your children? Fire them. Get them away from your children. They're not competent people. They're not safe to be around. So get them away from that. Israel allowed their teachers to arm. Teachers with training, which almost all of them have because they've all been in the military. They arm their teachers and the violence stops. Overnight, the violence stops. There was still somebody, a crazed gunman, who just came in shooting. Just shooting away. Killing people. It was an Arab fella who's probably distraught over something and came in just shooting anybody he could get in his sights. And a student shot him and stopped it. A student had a gun, legally had a gun. It was a part-time student, actually. It's the only thing that makes sense, but yet somehow or other to these people it doesn't make sense. Oh, no, we can't arm the teachers. Why not? In Texas, there's a Herald Independent School District, and there's a lot of other places that are doing this. There's at least half a dozen different states that allow the teachers to arm, even though the federal government probably is ticked as can be. I know a lot of other people are, because it's working. It's working. In Florida, where a student came on was shooting people, somebody went out and got a gun. A vice principal went out and got a gun and stopped it. That should get headlines. He should be getting a medal for breaking the rules, having a gun on campus, even though it was out in his car. I think that's against the rules. But he was able to disarm the guy just by pointing the gun at him. Didn't even have to shoot him. The mere presence of guns makes a difference. Makes a huge difference. But you don't even, you announce the world, we don't have any guns, we're completely unsafe here, we don't have any way of protecting ourselves. And then you expect this not to happen? You know it's happened. It's happened in places where they have gun control. And yet you keep doing it. And I tell the story of the little girl just at this same period of time. House was broken into in broad daylight. Jimmy opened a door, came in with a gun to rob the house. And the girl ran upstairs, little girl, got her mother's .22, pink .22, put a couple of bullets in it, or one, I think it's only a single shot. She had two bullets, she said. And I saw the interview. And pointed at the guns, and they backed out. They got out of there. She didn't have to shoot them. But she was able to shoot them because she had a gun. It's a tool, that's all. Like I say, every assault rifle is also an anti-assault rifle. And you guys who are saying, oh no, we don't want anybody to have a gun. Cognitive dissonance. You can't see your own lack of courage, your own laziness, your own irresponsibility, and you want to justify that by making everybody else give up their guns. And yet, you are safer in your apartment because somebody in your apartment might have a gun and the criminals don't know if you're one of them. Every one of you are for absolute gun control. Put a sign on your door that says no guns in this apartment. Just helpless victims. You're ready to die for your beliefs, aren't you? You cowards. You lazy cowards. Yeah, Joe Merrick, I guess it was in Mississippi. I've been saying Florida this morning, but it was in Mississippi. He had a .45 out in his car. He's a U.S. Army Reserve commander. And he had that gun in his car, and he went out and got it, and he confronted the armed guy who was just shooting people. And the guy put his guns down, and he took him into captivity. Now, what was another thing? There was a couple other, you know, the guy in Clackamas, he was in a gun-free mall, and he just pointed the gun at the guy, and the guy stopped shooting people, ran down the hallway, and shot himself. The same as the kid in Sandy. As soon as he heard the sirens, he went and shot himself. They went and took their own life. There's actually a spiritual element that's going on here. There's a spiritual power that's influencing these decisions to do these things. Both those of you who have disarmed your teachers and your pilots and want to disarm everybody else, there is a spiritual element to this. But let's just keep it on, you probably don't believe in that, so let's just keep it on the psychological element right now of this cognitive dissonance. You cannot see common sense. Basic common sense that works in other places. Like in the schools that are armed. They allow their teachers to become armed. I think there's at least 6 states that have passed laws that allow that. And that's what you need to do in your states. Personally, what you need to do is get your kids out of those schools until they do. And maybe during that period where you have your kids out of school, you'll find out, hey, this isn't so hard to teach our kids at home, and they're actually getting way ahead of the other kids. That's what you'll see. If you take your kids out of school and start teaching them at home, you'll see them progressing faster and faster than the kids that are still in school. And then when they go back, they'll be way ahead of those other kids, if you're even halfway decent parents. And you'll say, well, why am I sending my kids to this school at all? And then we can deal with the cognitive dissonance of the fact that you think you're a Christian, yet you're sending your kids to a school that is paid for by benefactors who exercise authority one over the other, which is exactly contrary to what Christ said. But just right now, let's focus on keeping the children safe by getting them out of these gun-free zones where they are put in harm's way to prove an agenda that has failed time and time again of disarming the American public. They wouldn't let it happen at Lexington and Concord, and you shouldn't have let it happen at your public schools. But you did. And you have to admit that that was a mistake before more children die, and do something about it. They're not going to change their policy because you say, well, while we're out there soliciting the vote and trying to get writing letters to our congressmen, we're still going to keep sending our kids to this public school. No. Stop sending your kids to the public school. Get them out of that public school and get them in the home where they should have been all along and teach them there. If you can't do it there, find public schools that will private schools that will take you, but only private schools that allow their teachers to be armed. Ask them for a list of the teachers. How many teachers are armed? You don't even have to know their name. Just how many teachers are armed and how close are those teachers to the classrooms your children will be in? So, are you ready to do that? Do you have the courage to do that? Do you have the chutzpah to do that? Or are you too lazy to do that? Oh, I can't do that. I've got my job, and I got this, and I got that. Well, then gather together with other homeschoolers and ask them if they will watch your kid, because you don't want them in the public school, and just give them a few bucks, and then they will start teaching your children for you. They could take one or two kids, a lot of them, and they would do it. And say that, I want to work towards homeschooling, but I have to go to work. Well, while you're going to work and they're at home teaching your kids, you can give them a few bucks. And then you can actually start paying for your child's education. Well, I already do that with my taxes. No, you don't. I don't know anybody who pays enough property tax to pay for their child's education if they even had one child in school. No. You don't. It's all those people who don't send their kids to school that are paying for your child. And that's what you're doing. You're coveting their goods, forcing them to pay for your child. But anyway, let's get back to this thing. These gun-free zones are death traps for your children. As long as the foolish, irrational, unthinking people are going to continue to promote this failed policy of zero tolerance, there will be more killings. There are lots of reasons to take your children out of public school. That's what it says here in this article, Unarmed and Dangerous. And you can go look up School to Fool at hisholychurch.org under the sermon section, schools.php. And you can find it. Do a search. There's a search engine on everything. And read about how you could actually and why you should actually take your kids out of school. But it says that gun control advocates who took the guns from the school staff are both foolish and complicit in these tragedies. Yeah, you're to blame. I know teachers, personally know teachers, competent to handle weapons, well-trained, who are not allowed to take their guns on the campus because of zero tolerance. They would like to, but they're not allowed to because you made these stupid, stupid rules. The blood of these mass murders is equally upon your hands because you allowed this to take place. You kept them from the means of stopping this carnage and encouraged it by imposing this vacuum of self-defense. And that's where these guys go. They go to these places where they can do evil with impunity. No one in their right minds would allow this to happen, but you're not in your right mind. You're suffering from cognitive dissonance. You have accepted a lie. And in order to justify that lie in your mind, you take up these ridiculous, absolutely foolish policies and defend them as if somehow or other you are righteous because you wouldn't own a gun. You are righteous because you would never shoot anybody. But you still call 911. You still ask the policeman to come and shoot people for you and take away the bad guys and protect you. You still have armies out there to protect you from foreign invasion. You are fit to be nothing but subjects to dictators. And you should be under dictators that just kill at will. You know, Stalin used to stay up all night making his red lists. Lists of all men. Yeah, execute this man, arrest this man, arrest this man, execute this man, execute this man, execute this man. Thousands of people he sent to their deaths because he was paranoid. He was crazy. How can you be a part of such insanity? But you are. You are seeking to elect men and give them the kind of power that Stalin had so that you will be secure. How selfish is that? This, you've heard me mention it, this cognitive dissonance. There was actually a psychologist, I guess he was a psychiatrist, Festinger, theory of cognitive dissonance. The principle seeks, the individual seeks some sort of consistency in their beliefs and attitudes in one or more situations where two inconsistent ideas attempt to coexist in the same mind. You know, like you want to think you are a good person, but you don't care about your neighbor's welfare as much as you care about your own. So then you have to invent arguments that say, oh, no, I... And you heard there's a guy, Morgan from England, who's really wants to take guns away from everybody. And I saw a video the other day where he was interviewing somebody, probably NRA or somewhere, someone who supported private ownership of guns, and he was saying, "You don't care about anybody. You don't care about." He was absolutely unreasonable, full of ad hominems, just non-intelligent in his arguments, but very vehement, very emotionally vehement, and. It misquoted the guy. The guy said that violent crimes has increased in both Australia and England after the confiscation of guns. And he said, that's an absolute lie. That's an absolute lie. Murders have gone down. That's not what he said. He didn't say murders had gone up. He said violent crimes had gone up. And the guy was intelligent enough to notice that, but he doesn't see that. He jumped at the opportunity of saying that murders have gone down. Well, murders with guns have gone down. You know, a lot of people are murdered with baseball bats. I mean, a lot. An amazing number of people have been murdered with baseball bats. But we're not confiscating baseball bats. It doesn't work. Just like how many people die because of alcoholism? But we tried prohibition, and we were able to create the mafia, you know, and organized crime, and gave it a tremendous boost because of prohibition. And now we don't do it with alcohol, but we do it with drugs. We prohibit drugs, and now we've created a huge underground that makes a fortune, billions of dollars industry, because drugs are illegal. If drugs were illegal, they would be out of business. They wouldn't be able to make the money that they're making now. And they would have to do something else. But it's too late to go back. I mean, I personally think that they should legalize a lot of these drugs. And they can tax them like they do cigarettes. I mean, cigarettes are a drug. Alcohol is a drug. I'm not encouraging taxes, but if you're going to have them, might as well have them on those things. But it's a failed policy. Your war on drugs is failing miserably. The only way to stop drugs is to raise up a society that realizes that drugs destroy your ability to make a living. It destroys your ability to have a happy and normal life. Which brings us to this idea of drugs and these shootings. How many of these shooters are on legally prescribed drugs? How many do you think? You know, 20%? 40%? 50%? How many of these shooters are actually on drugs? 90%? Yeah, it's actually more than 90% of them are on legally prescribed drugs. Isn't that amazing? More than 90% of these shooters are on legally prescribed drugs. Xanax, Ambien, Lovox, Prozac, Paxil, Trazodone, Effexor. It just goes on and on. And it starts often with Ritalin. These are bad things. These drugs drug a part of your mind. We just had a discussion last night. I have a son. I'm extremely dyslexic, and my son is somewhat dyslexic, has what they call ADD, very short attention span. But he says he's learned when he was growing up, he learned to control it. He learned to navigate around it. If he had been on drugs, he would have never dealt with that. He says that his experience is with, and this is personal observation, his experience with those kids that were on these drugs when they were little have a difficulty in relating with children that age. The age of the children that they knew at the time that they were put on these drugs. They have difficulty relating with those children. It's like they've never gone through that age period. And they don't, it's like there's almost a flashback. It's like, delayed stress syndrome. Because they did not deal with it in that time frame. Deal with children that age in that time frame. And now they're awkward and find that difficult. The fact is that you need to learn to overcome these things like ADD and stuff. But you know what? The kids with the short attention span, there's lots of ways to deal with that. It takes patience, takes love, takes sacrifice. There's lots of ways to deal with it. What kind of person is that child going to be when they're older if they deal with that? What kind of child would they be? They'll actually be some of the most competent people. They're able to juggle multitasks at the same time. That's what he's noticing, so that he can think about more than one thing at one time. But anyway, we'll have to continue this when we return to Keys to the Kingdom on our next show. Till then, God bless. Peace be upon your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.